Welcome to Kick Back with Chris.
Kick Back with Chris,
the martial arts podcast.
Brought to you by SGC Security Services. Excellence as standard.
All right, guys.
Sorry,
you just spoiled it. No, I'm keeping this now because we've started. You once said to me, record it like you're live.
Yeah.
I've lived by that ever since. So we're in and out keeping this. That's the intro now. We managed to come back for a second episode. And Martin, so he, and I think you can all hear him now as well.
Yeah, sorry. Technical issues. Despite being a media professional, I can't get a bloody microphone to
work.
Yeah,
I was going to say of all the people.
Yeah. And I'm also not in prison. Oh, no, you can't see it anyway.
For those of you that can see the bars behind him, metaphorically speaking.
Metaphorically locked into some kind of trap here, but...
Being self-employed, yeah. You're living one long sentence, aren't you? But no, we're back, and this time around, we're going to discuss what I think is a particularly awesome fight scene from the 1994... remake of Fist of Fury, imaginatively titled Fist of Legend.
Legend, yeah. Just change one word and then you
change a word. I know. But it is. I actually saw this before I saw Fist of Fury because I wasn't bothered about Bruce Lee films ever.
No,
at all.
I think during our time when we were getting into martial art, it was a few years before, really, wasn't it? Let's be honest. Yeah. It's one of those things that you go back and look at for.
Yeah, it is, and this. This particular film, I remember I bought it on VHS from HMV back in the day, just because it had Jet Li on the cover. I had absolutely no idea about the film. The internet wasn't the thing. And I remember putting it in and watching it and probably watching it three or four times on loop because it was, well, the fight scenes anyway. Mm. I was a prolific fast forwarder back in those days.
Did the same thing. I think I got it for, you know, the legendary 3 for 20 HMV DVD.
Yeah,
you know, you could always get some gold from the world cinema section there.
I think I got
this in one of those deals. Yeah, same thing.
It's but just, you know, doing a bit of research into it before, but I'm actually being a little bit more organised this time around. It got a 100% score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
Well, there you go. Then that's it. If you've got a 100% score on there, you know, you're onto something. I think I got like 7.8 on IMDb. So it's, you know, it's one of the, for those people that aren't into, if you listen to this podcast, I don't know why I'm even saying this, but for those people that aren't into just like martial arts films and can forgive everything else, this is one of those films where you can actually enjoy all of it. You know, it's well acted, it's well shot, it's well directed.
It's got a proper story, yeah. No, yeah. It's good. No, you're right. It doesn't always work that way, does it, with Hong Kong action cinema, let's be honest.
Yeah,
but like, it's a very watchable movie,
and there's some really well shot scenes. I remember the first time watching the, we're not actually talking about the end fight scene today, but when I first saw that, remembering all the colors and the oranges and greens and browns, and it was just, they'd put a lot of time into it, they thought about it, they didn't just go, oh, let's do a fight here, you know. Anyway, what we'll do before we go any further, some of you have probably noticed that there's a new name connected to the podcast. The one and only legend himself, Mr. Mike Leader, somebody I've had the fortune of knowing for a good 20 something years. We used to converse back in the day on MSN for many an hour. I can't remember what about, but yeah, we just used to talk about films probably. But yeah, 20 something years I've known him now. And I asked him, hey, you know, I'm doing this podcast. Do you fancy being on it? And he just said, yes. And I thought, wow, that's very cool. So what we'll do now is we'll jump over to a recording that Mike very kindly sent in, giving us a little bit of history and background into the film and a little bit of involvement that he had himself.
It's Friday. It's 5 to 5, at least somewhere in the world. And it's time for Fight Scene Friday. Thanks to Chris Jones and the Kickback with Chris podcast for inviting me aboard. My name is Mike Leader, based in Hong Kong, where I work as a producer, a casting director, an audio commentator, and sometimes, just sometimes, as a very bad actor. Now, it was my love for martial arts cinema, especially that from Hong Kong, which inspired me to make the move out here when I was but a skinny little lizard with bad hair. And more than 25 years later, let's just say I'm no longer skinny, and what little hair I have is still bad. But we're looking at a classic slice of Hong Kong martial arts cinema from the mid-90s. Gordon Chan's Fist of Legend, a.k.a. Jingmo Ying Hong in Cantonese, with fight choreography by Yun Wu Ping and his team, starring the one and only Jet Li, Chin Siu Ho, Billy Chow, and the legendary Japanese martial arts and movie legend, David Shoji Karata, a.k.a. Karata Yasuyuki. Man with many names. Now, I actually got to be on set for some of the shooting of this particular fight scene. I think I spent a day, maybe two, melting away on the hot under the hot sun and watching martial arts movie making magic from some of the legendary figures in martial arts cinema. Now, when I was on set, Yun Wu Ping was running the shoot. Especially on a Hong Kong movie, when it comes to the action scenes, the action unit will take over. Don't call it second unit, action unit. Okay, so it was Yun Wu Ping and several members of the Yun clan, including brothers Yun Chen Yan and Yun Chen Yi, were running the action. And two longtime Yun Wu Ping proteges, Didi Ku, who has most recently been doing things like Into the Badlands as fight choreographer, and the late Tony Ling, Ling Chihua, were there as the key fight stunt doubles for Jet Li. Yes, there are some doubles involved. Now, everyone gets doubled at some point, okay? I got doubled for sitting down on Fearless. Long story. But while Jet has incredible physicality, he also has acquired some injuries over the years. And sometimes it's safer, not to mention quicker and easier, to just drop in a stunt double for a beat or two and get it done. You know, it's not good when your main actor gets wiped out and then production goes on hold for several months. Now, we were shooting high on a hillside in the New Territories in Hong Kong under some blazing sun. I think I actually ended up getting heat stroke, if I remember. So major respect to Jet Li, Karata, who was already in, I think he was already in his late 40s at the youngest at the time, for rocking through some very complicated choreography and exchanges. Now, it's funny, because if you watch the fight closely, you can see Jet has some quite visible padding on his arms, etc., while Karata is bare forearmed. Now, Jet, of course, comes from a wushu background, and while he's got incredible physicality and good conditioning, Karata comes from a hardcore karate background. He's a 7th-degree black belt, and he's got that hardcore karate conditioning on his shins and forearms. You know, he'll go and bang them on trees and on walls and on rocks. So, yeah. So Jet and stunt doubles ended up having to wear the padding just to get through the shoot, because otherwise, broken forearms and legs doesn't make for easy movie making. Now, I came to Hong Kong and got into the industry as a fan of these movies, and of many of these people, and while it might seem cool to pretend that I'm no longer a fan, it's just work. I'm not cool, and I'm still a fan. And my 20-something self was loving being on set. I took a bunch of pics, and I'm going to try and find those negatives, as I've only got a few prints left from the shoot. Jet was friendly. He was working on his English at the time, was in good spirits. Karata speaks quite good English, and he was very friendly to me. He was a very good friend of my late godfather, Alip Sak. Miss you, little father. Well, Yun Wu Ping, just as he is 30-something years later, was friendly, smiling, and smoking far too many cigarettes. You know. But it was great. I mean, you know, there's nothing like watching some of the best people in the business doing what they're good at. So being on set, watching Jet Li and Karata throw down under the watchful eye of Yun Wu Ping, that's worth it. That's excellent. So, yeah. Now, the funny thing is, some months later, it was the Hong Kong premiere of Fist of Legend, and Karata invited me to attend. But I was working on another movie and a TV series at the time, so I was barely getting any sleep. I think I was averaging about 3 or 4 hours of real sleep and 15 minutes here and there on set or in a van, etc. So I was struggling, but I wasn't going to miss the premiere. And will admit to my internal embarrassment that I fell asleep in the cinema shortly after the first scene. Now, the first scene at the dojo is very cool. You know, Jet Li comes in, starts slapping around, you know, the Japanese karate guys, you know, and one of whom is the young Kenji Tanigaki, a very good friend of mine, who is both a protege of karate and later of Donnie Yen, and has since gone on to be a major legendary stuntman, fight choreographer, action director on all kinds of projects. But yeah, after that scene, I kind of fell asleep. And Karata very politely woke me up for his fight scene on the hill with Jet, which I really enjoyed. And then I went back to sleep again. I went home afterwards, and my flatmate at the time was Australian martial arts actor Mike Miller from Knock Off and Once Upon a Time in China 2, etc. And he was quite confused by my lack of enthusiasm for the movie. Then a few days later, when it was released, he went and saw it, came back and dragged me to see it again. And watching it with the benefit of being wide awake, I went, bloody hell, this is good. And 30 years later, Fist of Legend is still a classic. You know, it's just so good. And I've been lucky enough to get the chance to work with Jet, Yu Wu-Ping, and many of his team on subsequent projects over the years. And that's never a bad thing. Now, I'd like to tell you about the Lost Fist of Legend sequel, but maybe that's for another time. Now, I'm going to hand things over to the great Northern Kicker himself, Chris Jones, and the stuntastic Martin Wan. Take it away, guys.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. That was very professional, and I have to be honest, it was a lot longer than I was expecting. It was a good 7 minutes.
What an intro from Mike. What an insight. Am I spending the day there watching all this?
And falling asleep at the premiere.
I can relate to that these days, though. I mean... Yeah. If I go to the cinema, if I get the chance, very rare chance to go to the cinema these days, I do get very sleepy. So.
Very comfortable seats, very dark surroundings. You know, it's absolutely easy to do. But no, amazing insights. And, you know, Mike is going to be joining us, time allowing, for as many of the different episodes that we do as he can. So pretty unique insight. And it makes us a proper podcast now.
It does. There's some legitimacy there.
We actually kind of sound like we know what we're talking about now.
Well, we've got a direct link now to this very scene.
How cool is that? That's really cool. Well, the fight scene that we're talking about in particular, as I say, is from the film Fist of Legend, is a scene between Jet Li and I'll get the name right, Yasuaki
Kurada.
It goes by a lot of names, apparently, different stage names. I think Mike mentioned some of them in his intro piece. I'm always really hesitant to say names because you want to get it right because it's people's names. Yeah.
There is.
But we'll just say Jet Li versus Karata because we can't get that wrong, really. And it's a really well-known scene. It's about halfway from memory, about sort of nearly about halfway in, I suppose.
Yeah, it's the midpoint, isn't it?
Yes. And he's and obviously it's one of those cool sequences. Whereas running a martial arts school myself, it's not like I have this sort of thing frequently happen, but you'll have like one of your own students, one of maybe the older teenagers, or you'll have like a visiting guest or group of people, and you'll have a friendly spar, but it's there's always that sort of undertone of I'm just going to give you a cheeky dig here and there, just put you in your place. And they're thinking the same thing. You know, I'll come to test you a little bit. Not to this level. But it's if you've ever visited another martial arts school before or done some sparring with another instructor from another school, you'll have a little bit of an insight into the vibe behind this entire scene. Because it's, yeah. Anyway. Did you want to add to that at all? Sorry, before I just tell you.
No, you're right. It's a really, that's why it's a really enjoyable fight. And I think like so many fight scenes or action scenes these days can often overlook the fact that you're telling a story. And I think this scene really does tell a story, because you're right, you know, it starts like a friendly match and they kind of, and you really get that sense they are testing each other and they kind of like building the stakes as it goes on. Obviously, we'll talk about it as we watch the fight.
Yeah.
They start wearing the blindfolds and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, oh, can you do this? Can you do that sort of thing? And there's a bit of a to and fro. And it's very enjoyable.
It's a friendly exchange with a hint of who do you think you are?
Yeah.
About it, which is what it's like whenever you go to another school and join in with a class, you get tested and then you test them, and it's just how it is. And it's friendly, but there's that competitive edge to it as well, which is like, and obviously there's the age gap in the characters as well, which obviously is played on a little bit. But anyway, everybody listening in, you should have a link in the show notes you can click. You can get this ready. So if you want to pause and go and get that sorted out, because we're not going to wait for you, get it open on whatever device you're using. I assume you're ready over there, sir.
I am.
Let's go. Okay, ready. Hopefully I'm not going to be able to hear it.
Yeah.
We've not got this sorted yet. Okay, ready. I'm going to turn the sound down a fraction my end, just in case. All right, ready. In, on action, yeah? In,
yeah,
three.
I got this.
You ready? Three, two, one, action. Bit of a stretch out.
Yeah, I love this section here. Okay. Wait, hang on a minute. I'm getting on a bit. I need to stretch out my knees.
It's setting it up nicely, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but also it's a total fake out, isn't it? You know, he's just setting the tone here and saying, "Hang on a minute, we'll fight on my terms."
Well, I do this. I'm always doing this. Like, I just got steady. My knees a bit sore today, and I've had a bit of an hard session last night. So we'll have a little friendly tip tap. You know. And then it again makes him wait again.
Yeah.
Need to warm up.
This is a psychological warfare going on here.
Totally. bit of a stretch out, bit of a hip swing.
That's all you need.
That's all I do. And here we go. This is the moment. Have it.
Got no trousers on underneath that traditional Japanese dress. That was a...
They're setting him up here as being the formidable adversary, not the old guy. The music.
I can't remember last time. Did we talk... Did we just let the people watch it first and then talk? I can't remember what we did.
No, we watched it and talked over it like this.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I think with this scene as well, just in general, I think, to be honest with you, like, I was never really a massive fan of some of Jet Li's work. I know it's controversial.
Yeah.
I was never huge on the whole Wuxia wirework stuff.
Yeah.
To be honest, because I came in from the Jackie grounded a bit more in realism, Sammo Hung kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of vibe, but this for me, when I watched it, obviously there's still a lot of wire work in this. Of course, you won't think like
it's a little bit more subtle.
Yeah, exactly. It's still kind of a grounded effect, and I think for me that really I think ticks a lot of boxes for me when I watch this.
What I always loved about this, I still do, is the way that they managed to keep the individual styles of the respective fighters. But it doesn't break the flow. You see a lot of times in films where they try and keep specific sort of techniques or different styles, that it can break the flow of everything, and it doesn't in this at all. It just works, you know, and he's keeping a very stereotypical karate style, as opposed to, well, we'll say Jet Li was in Chen Zhen in the film. The more, well, I think it's leaning back to the whole Bruce Lee, JKD sort of thing. You know, no style. That's very. That's a part
it's his modern take on it, isn't it?
Yeah. Obviously, it's referenced in here. Says, "Oh, you know, what is this style?" She asks him. Oh, here we go. This is the part. What I like in this is there's a shift in pace as well, and the music change. The music change is awesome. I don't know if you can hear it. Everybody watching in or listening in at home, you know, you guys will be able to hear the music. I love the music in this section. Blindfolds are going on. Very 90s.
Yeah. Now we're getting a little bit of the whole Wuxia stylish you know, leaves blowing in the background.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's
fun. Must have had a massive wind machine for that.
Yeah.
Keeping the style again, you know, open hands. There's a mixing and a lot of grappling. Obviously, we'll talk about this in more depth in a minute, but there's a lot of... there's some mild silliness with throwing of rocks. I love that shot at the back. That's so cool. Mm.
I like how you... There's still a little bit of a subtle... Obviously, they're blindfolded. You know, not every hit landed.
Yep.
There was a little right straight there from Shenzhen that did miss.
Yeah.
Which I think is good attention to detail. And, well, I mean, obviously, you know, of course, with the flurries in the air, but...
A little bit of back and forth now with the sort of joint locking and grappling and... spin out, nice low angle. He liked his low angles with the spin outs.
Very
there we go. I love this bit. The stone conveniently hits the one other stone in the the whole area. He just remembered it was there.
Touch his bottom.
Yes. A bit of a reversal on the throw. Or lock in.
Yeah, very technical now. This is great. Realising that maybe you need to maintain contact.
But it's, what I liked about this is even with the shift in pace and the change in fight style, there's a change in camera work as well. There's a lot more tighter shots on this, you know, different angle position and angle in of the camera. It's so, I mean, obviously you're working with people at this level, they know, they've considered all this, the previs, they've gone through this all, they rehearsed it to death probably. Now there we go, they both realized they're awesome. I'm gonna make friends.
It's you.
Oh yeah, huh. It's you all along. So there we go.
Great. Let's give that a round of applause.
A round of applause. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. Obviously, very, very different to last week's featured fight scene, which is one of the reasons why
YouTube's just gone on to Drunken Master.
Has it?
Autoplay, yeah. not now.
Mine's just gone on to an autoplay of Mike Tyson asking us, why did Mike Tyson bite someone's ear off? This is the trap of YouTube, you know, you got to be careful with it. It sucks you in. You end up watching all sorts of weirdness, cat videos. And right, so let's go back to the start. So the opening, that I made a note here, the opening of the warm-up being, I like that. I just love how they use this to sort of set the tone of, oh, you know, I'm an old guy. Look, he takes off his little sandals and, you know, folding his uniform top, putting it down, and it's like, oh, you know, I need to go steady. I'm an old guy, you know.
Well, I like it's a take on, obviously, a lot of traditional kung fu movies would, you know, start with people doing their forms and like showing off what they can do, and it's kind of part of that sizing, you know, the opponent sizing each other up. And I love that the take on that here is that, well, first of all, he's not really doing anything that's that physically impressive. He's doing a piss take, isn't he, really?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I don't know, it's almost like a commentary on that on some level too, which I find really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And then I've made the note here at 59 seconds in, which is actually the most replayed section on this clip when you look watching on YouTube. The part with the jump sidekick. The flying sidekick for those like. Now, if you freeze frame on it, it's actually him. You can see it's him that's doing it. With the initial, this like there's two shots they use. It's like a jump cut. It's cool actually.
Yeah, it's very. It's like less. It's like eight frames.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's him on that kick. Which I thought it's pretty cool. Now for the following section, the jump. I've just closed my notes accidentally. There we go. A minute and four when there's like the jump. I don't know. It's like it's not a front kick. It's more like a.
It's like an outside weird present axe kick thing, yeah.
That's obviously a double at that part.
Yeah.
And obviously some wire work, because there's no person on this planet that can jump that high.
His guy's got up 12 feet in the air.
But it's subtle. It's not like, hey, look at this dude's flying. It's just like, Jesus, man, this guy can jump high. He's got some power.
It's cut so quick, unbelievable. Isn't it? You don't have time to kind of register. You're just like, oh, fucking hell, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then obviously the jump sidekick with the kip up back, that's two doubles, definitely 100%. And the reason I'm mentioning that is it's not they're using stunt doubles, oh they're not very good. I think there was this thing, especially around the '90s, bearing in mind this was like in 1994, and by the time we were getting it over here, you'd had your whole Rumble in the Bronx, which is why I like to tie it into last week, where we'd had the whole no stuntman thing rammed down our throats with the whole promo for Rumble in the Bronx and Jackie Chan. And then this started getting to be this weird thing, whereas people were getting fussy about if people were using doubles, and it's like, well, everybody always has. You know, you can't go breaking your two lead, you know,
with a
shot that takes 0.2 of a second, you know.
Mike said in his intro, like, why would you, you know, you've got a job to get on with, and you've got to finish the scene.
Exactly.
At the end of the day.
Exactly. And for something as incidental as that, it's a cool moment, don't get me wrong. And I dare say that they both could have done it, but if you know you can do it, and why would you risk headbutting somebody's knee?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've done that before, messing around with kip ups with jumps and stuff. And I have done that and come back up and face planted somebody's shin on the way over, and it's not fun, not even one little bit.
Just going back to that kick, I just want to break that down, because
which one?
So if you're listening, so 1:05. So that. Where, you know, the kick that we're talking about here.
1:05. Yes.
It's a crazy cut, and it works. But
it does.
If you actually break it down in slow motion, the guy, I'm going to go back to the point. I'm going to go 0.25.
Okay. Oh, okay. I'm going 0.25.
So is the shot here at 1:06. You've got Jet knelt down and Kurata about to go for a left leg. He goes with his left leg, like a straight kick.
Mm.
And then it cuts to the wide.
Yeah,
it's now the other leg. I don't know if you know, you can see that. So he's actually kicking with the right leg, but also he's going from a complete standing position that previous shot, just like a standing front snap kick, to to like firing across the screen at literally like 100 miles an hour.
Yeah,
he's like pow, and he goes. So he's literally standing still, and then in the cut, it's like phew, and I feel like. The double has literally just taken a run off the screen and ran across the frame and did a, you know, like you do as a kid, don't you? It's like, pow, pow. And it doesn't actually, if you break it down and do it, analyze it, it doesn't make any sense at all.
But it just does.
If you play it at full speed, it cuts together so well, and it's like you get that sense of power. It's like, pow.
Yeah.
And it's really like, whoa, what did I just watch? Yeah. What's the impact?
Exactly.
It's interesting how it was a bit. You know, was it a mistake in the edit? Was it on purpose that it was a different foot? You know, that kind of thing. It always interests me.
But you just don't, you're so drawn into the whole kind of, what they say, like, wow, you know, geez, what's happening here? And I love how they're setting him up as being a formidable, dangerous character, that even though he's playing the older gentleman, he's still dangerous. Mm. And he can still, you know, he does all the whole... Oh, I've got to warm up. Oh, I'm, you know, got to be careful. You know, got to get ready. And then next thing you know, he's flying around like Sonic the Hedgehog on too much caffeine. You know, it's cool. Now, I made a note at 1:21. I don't know how much you can hear at your side, but there's a shift. Oh no, actually no. I've written these notes down. I've scribbled these notes out so fast today. It's fair to say we've both had a hectic week.
Yeah.
So to speak.
And I spent all day yesterday on a bloody BBC set with 120 kids and 20 of them cheerleaders from my cheerleading program.
Oh, so that sounds weird. Fun.
Very, very, very different from experiences I've had in the past.
Yeah, second.
Strange.
Yeah, very much so. Have I put here music?
Yeah, there's definitely the music kicks up and the trumpets come in and it gets around the 1 minute mark.
Oh yes, yeah. That's it. So at the 1:21, it's intensity. That's the word that I wrote that I couldn't understand was intensity. Right. So It's my own handwriting. It's my fault. So the intensity of the music ramps up. Now I'm guessing from watching this.
Yeah, the tempo.
They've recorded this. Obviously, the music was done after the sequence was completed, because it there's too much of that goes on throughout the whole fight scene. Even to the point where the feet are shuffling, where the music goes quiet, and then when there's a slow-mo, and then the music changes again, and then on certain hits, it was obviously recorded after the whole sequence was finished.
I thought they had a live band playing when they filmed the scenes. So they don't do that anymore.
But they don't. But if you think with a lot of these sort of fight sequences, movies at this sort of time, they didn't really bother with details like that. What's the music over it?
No, I mean, even if you go back and watch, like, you know, the other week when we were doing Rumble in the Bronx, I mean, the international version or the Hong Kong version of that soundtrack, you know, you're right. There's almost no consideration,
it's just
really.
Generic, blur. Let's just chuck this in. And with this, there's a very, very definite, there's a very, very definite attempt to have the music help accentuate the fight more, add to it. You know, you get into it. And I love it when they that sort of detail, because it adds to it. It's the overall experience.
And
it's
now, well, after that,
well
happens,
choreographed, well shot, well edited, and the music goes with it. It's just super, super cool.
Their movements actually mirror that tempo. You know, it's very bam, 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 bam.
Exactly.
Now it's like longer takes, longer shots. Change.
I made that note at 123 to 126, how they actually stay within their respective fight styles. That's obviously nice wide, but they're keeping the hands open. That is for me, I geek out about that stuff. That is so super cool how that he's staying in a traditional karate style the whole way through that hand exchange at 120, 123 to 126.
Yeah.
Even the low section block and everything, it's
all the shapes are nice, aren't they? They're all there. You can freeze frame it, you know, and probably see. I mean, I don't know karate really.
Yeah.
Much like karate, kata and all that kind of stuff, but you can kind of like almost pause it on each exchange and see, you know, almost a pattern or a moment in a kata, which is good. That big chop over, you know, you see that a lot, don't you? And that, is that a block? Is that a strike? It's just used really, really
well. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing with a lot of karate styles and Korean styles, is that there aren't really blocks as such. They are all, everything. Your blocks are strikes. They're meant to hurt. They're not meant to deflect for the vast majority anyway. And that's, it's just a really cool use of the technique in there. I've always, because as I said, it doesn't break up the flow of the fight. It doesn't. It just works. It's just really cool to watch how they manage to keep everything flowing, the tempo there. I mean, obviously you're talking to top level martial artists here as well, from very different backgrounds. But you know, it just makes for just, this is magic. You know, really
even even at precisely 137, he blocks that high karate, blocks that high elbow.
Yeah,
and he's got that open palm. There.
Yes, exactly.
Even the bottom of the elbow, which, you know, would be a trap, wouldn't it? You'd have that block there, and you have that open palm, so then you could possibly grab the forearm and trap, and you know, and then come back and riposte, which is like a really nice attention to detail, because he doesn't do anything with that palm.
No,
you know, in the scene, it's not there. He doesn't do a trap and doesn't do a grab next, but it shows that like. Him, his character as a martial artist is going to be using those shapes and those movements, because that's what he's trained to do, and it's there anyway, because they could have just had it, you know, he just a high cover or a high block, but it's
attention
to detail.
But 131 to 138, if you just watch this is, I mean, I obviously we watched the whole fight before, but just watching this section is just so cool. What's nice about this, you know, it's all wide hits, all wide slashes and wide hits and very straight. I'm reenacting it now. Everyone's listening; they can't hear. But it's like those punches that you would associate with if you walked into a karate class and watched people walking down and lines punching. And what I really like about this section in particular, from 131 to 138, is it's all wide open movements with Jet Chan Zen with him moving and avoiding and slipping and bobbing and weaving, at which point he realizes that it's wide shots.
Yeah.
And then 138 to 137, he intentionally closes the gap to neutralize the effectiveness of those longer wide shots. And when you're watching the fight sequence, it's very easy to get caught up with the coolness of it and not notice. But when I've looked at it now and broken it down, that there's a very clear shift. So 138 to 147, now it's closing him down, and he's gone, well, okay, the only way I'm going to neutralize these long, wide strikes is to move in and go close. So it switches to elbows and just knee strikes. And like, it's clever. It's thought out. It's not just fighting for the sake of fighting. It's closed the gap down to neutralize the effectiveness of his longer strikes. And
very good.
I mean, I love a bit of what style is this? And don't worry, I'll show it to you.
What hairstyle is this?
Yeah.
It's the marshmallow hairstyle.
There's a little verbal exchange. And then they're both fighting in the same style, which is kind of nice, isn't it? But I made the note, 208 to 211. It's only a very short section, but it's got a lovely flow to it. All one take as well. It's one shot. Dum, 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 dum. It's so cool.
Yeah, and then Karata uses an elbow.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's giving it back now.
He's learning from him, you know?
Exactly.
And then his knees. It's like, oh, our knees, okay, let's throw some knees in the...
It's subtle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so clever. So he's returning the favor with the knee strikes. Learning from each other, you know? A few headbutts, why not? The kick. Oh, yeah, no, so before that, just coming back onto what I said about the music earlier on. So at 2:11... Go back to 211, give everybody else a chance to catch up as well. You notice on the elbow strike if you go back a little bit before 211, actually, when he hits with that elbow strike, you get the really dramatic on the violins, and it all slows down.
So yeah, it's putting the beat there saying, hey,
yeah,
he's learning now from you.
Like the realization.
Yeah. It's like, oh, an elbow. I can use my elbows. And it's like, so does clever. It work with my legs? Boom.
And then when they're shuffling back on the not grass, whatever it is,
straw,
there's a silence in the music when they're scuttling back, so you can hear the feet.
Just a note on that straw. If you turned up to do a fight scene and you saw that ground, you'd be like, oh, thank God for that. what a great surface to do.
On the flip side, if you turned up to set that day to do that fight scene in your continuity. You're thinking, I better get my sweeping brush handy, because I'm going to be putting a lot of straw back in place between every goddamn take.
But you can do all sorts of that. I mean, and you can see it a few times, can't you? You can kind of see some matting underneath the straw, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that'd be lovely.
Isn't it fight
on that all day?
Isn't it the end? It's the end of Young Master, isn't it? We're getting onto a different fight here, where the end fight scene, like, there's a patch of worn grass at the start that's a tiny, and then by the end of the fight, it's huge.
Yeah, it's like really arid and dry, and it's just like the whole thing is just dead,
It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But that, I mean, that must have been a challenge, because I've not actually noticed, do they keep that hillside in the background of every shot? They don't go the whole way through, do they?
Let's have a look, see.
I don't think they do.
Through it. No, they don't reverse. There's always that hill and that grave, that shrine in the background. There's a couple times. Where you see the hay bales and stuff, but it's still sort of one direction. They're not really breaking the line. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Obviously they switch around back and forth, but
I wonder if that was time constraints. I wonder if that was just purely because they just didn't have You know, that's it. We've got this. We shoot this yeah. way. Or it might yeah. have been. There might have been a like a McDonald's or something behind us. You know what I mean,
but it's probably that's it. I mean, it looks like they've shot. I mean, I don't know where they shot this, but it's going to be that, isn't it? There's going to be a town the other side, a 7-Eleven or something. You know,
we've got Mike sat there on his deck chair watching.
Yeah, he's falling asleep.
Yeah.
Did he mention how many days they took to shoot this? I can't remember.
No, he didn't.
He didn't, did he?
No, he said he was on there 1 to 2 days. I mean, knowing what they were like back then, they probably bashed this one out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Pretty quick. That kick, though, 2 minutes 22, that's very... I don't know, I think I might have put it in my notes, it's very Jet Li. But it is. It's like... You don't
222.
Even know, 222. I don't even know what you would call it. 222. I don't even know what you... It's not a spin hook kick. It's not an axe kick. It's just sort of very pointy toe spin kick.
Oh, yeah. It's so fast.
Now...
Spinning outside crescent kick, maybe?
It's a thing. It's a toe point.
Yeah.
Now, there's a really funky edit on this hit at 225 for the B-twist. It's really, it makes no sense, but it works. If you watch
Where he does a full B twist, he punches them and then uses that punch to do another B twist.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense, but it still works. And again, going back to that. Oh, and as well, I didn't actually put this in my notes, but.
People can double B twist. I mean, I've seen
punch somebody in the middle.
Well, I mean, I've seen trickers do triple B twists, right? So it's not completely inconceivable that you could do, that you could. B twist hot, you know, after your first rotation, throw out a punch and finish it. Have you seen the guy that's tried to do double aerials?
No.
Yeah. Koji, one of the trickers.
How is that even a thing?
I know. Yeah, he did a whole vlog on it. He like trying to do double aerials.
Sure.
It's crazy. Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well,
that's not even a thing. Surely.
I'll find the video and send it to you. There's a few ways that he tries to do it in different, you know, kind of different setups, but.
Did you do it? Like, spoilers.
But I can't remember, but it's like the whole thing is like, is this possible? Let's figure out if this is possible.
My brain is saying no. I mean, how the hell did you do it? I'm just thinking now, how do you... You can't do that. That's like some out of a film.
Does that have a look?
Double aerial. Anyway, I'll look into that later. But at 220, how many times have you used this shot in a fight sequence? When the foot
220,
slides,
sorry,
yeah, 220, just before 220, maybe the foot's got shuffling backwards,
oh yeah,
and sliding into the center,
love it,
and it stops. Like everyone's done that, everyone's used that, and then this is then straight after this is the headbutts into the B twist thing. I like how they let it finish. He lands the B twist, and you can see it's Jet Li that's done it. That's cool. That's cool. Because by the time he'd filmed this, he'd suffered some pretty nasty injuries. Me being totally prepared, again, as always, Magus can tell me off for this. What was the film he shot early 80s when he fancied himself as a I can do my own stunts? And he messed his legs up, didn't he? Really badly.
Jet Li?
Yeah. Oh, what's the one when he's boxing in it? Oh, Hero? Man Killed? Oh, what's it called?
You have to Google it.
Bunch. I can't remember. Anyway, it says us with the podcast about fight scenes.
Hero was quite later on, wasn't it?
No. There's something... it's probably translated from the original. Anyway, people are screaming at us. And he does like a big flip off a high-level platform or something, and he messed himself up big time. So he'd had some bad injuries by this point, and I just like the fact that he does the beaches. Now, is it him? Is it? No, I don't think it's him when it's the punch. Just watch it now. It's two doubles. It's going to be because of the complexity and difficulty of it.
I don't know. If you freeze frame when you can see his face,
I don't think it is.
Yeah.
No,
because you wouldn't have to do it. If you think about how you're going to cut that, right? So all he has to do for that first part, that first twist, is... You don't necessarily have to land that B twist. Like you could stick a mat and just do like a jump punch land.
Just for those listening, at this point we're both sat in our chairs with our heads tilted.
Yeah.
about 25 degrees.
Yeah, why are our heads tilted? Oh, you might be right. I think you can sort of tell just before he actually goes up for the V twist.
Yeah,
you can just see the face of the double before he actually jumps.
Yeah,
I think you might be right.
Nice little use of low angle as well again on that.
Yeah.
Now we see. You know the. Yeah, he is. He's coming off a platform or something, isn't he? On the second.
Gotta be, yeah.
Because the camera follows him down.
Yeah, why wouldn't
It's still cool. It's still bloody cool.
Yeah.
I don't know how old Jet Li was at this time. 95. He's younger than Jackie, but it's still cool. It's still right. So cool, that movement. Right, let me get my notes back open again. I'm geeking out about a bloody B-twist. And then obviously we this is where we're going into the change of style. This is where everything changes up. The wind blows, the trees rustle, and it's cool now. Obviously, they're selling the whole, the wind's affecting his eyes and he can't see, and setting it up for the whole, let's put blindfolds on. Like, can you see? No, I'm fine. I'll manage.
Mm.
Still tough. This is where we get the cool music change at about 3:30. 3 minutes and 30, you get the cool music change.
He's just really hamming it up. Again, like, you know, we've seen some shenanigans from Karata at the start of this fight. You know, are we going to believe this? That he's got something in his eye? Or is he...
Good point.
Is this another punt from him? You know, is it a bit of a trick that kind of backfires on him? It's a joker, isn't he?
Yeah, from this point on as well, I noted that there's a lot more tighter shots as well. There's a lot more cuts and a lot more... Everything's tighter.
Mm.
I don't know whether this was... Well, obviously, it's intentional, but whether this was... we're looking at two different days here now. You know, this is all very different. It looks, I mean, obviously, yeah. I know it's meant to be, I don't know if it's because it's stormy or anything, but it does look darker as well. Compared to, there's less blue sky and more grayness.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but that could be the difference between morning and the evening, couldn't it?
Yeah, could be.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, of course it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be on different days, isn't it? I know they work quick, but they're not going to run that whole thing.
No, but I just like how, I mean, I wonder, it must have had a, you can actually see in some shots where it is a lot more sunny all of a sudden. Yeah. And they've had to obviously make the change in the camera to allow for that. Because it goes some shots it goes super sunny, then dark again, and then there's massive shadows, and then they've gone. And then it's just the magic of filmmaking. But yeah, it's a very different style of fight at this point now. It's changed. Obviously, a lot more grappling.
I don't want to say scrappy, but it's more desperate.
Yeah,
not scrappy in a way, because obviously, like, you know, they've still got a good technique in what they're doing, but it's like it's more rapid fire because they're not quite sure where their hits are going, so they're just chucking more out there.
Yeah, I like I made a note on here that 4:07, the little addition of a little bit of comedy.
Mm.
And what I like as well is Jet Li gets the little slap on the head, and then about 2-3 seconds later, he returns the favor. The little slap on the head, and then there's a stop for the little head rub. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's cool. He's keeping it playful, and it's helping to keep the story going as well. You know, the whole idea of this being a sparring match, it's not meant to be a fight to the death. Although a lot of the stuff that they're doing to each other would probably have that effect in reality. But it's just keeping that playfulness to it, that lighthearted moments, you know, giving it a change of pace.
Yeah.
Although we're still maintaining the idea of throwing the rock and hitting another rock was just, I don't know, it's just a step too far for me, that bit.
I didn't really get what...
There's a lot of cartwheels as well.
Where's the rock? Let me find the rock. Let's analyze the rock part. Where's the rock bit?
I didn't put it in my notes, but I will find it.
Oh, 440. Okay, right.
Yeah, so I'm on it now. Yeah, 440. Stands on the rock, realizes it's there, throws it, pink, and it hits.
But what I don't get what the point is. Because oh, I'm guessing he's like doing it to try and like fake out.
Yeah, it's like, he's heard a sound, so I'll kick in that direction.
Right, yeah, okay, I guess so. And now, he's like, okay, he's moved now, I know where he is. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
What I always love about these blindfold scenes, though, is like how they always instinctively know exactly which technique is going where exactly.
Yeah, it's always hard one, isn't it? It's like, John Wick 4.
Yeah.
With Donnie's character being blind, you know, they were just like, they made a bit of an attempt.
With the beepy things.
Yeah, and then they were just like, he's just going to be really good.
it's just super cool. He's using the force.
Yeah, he just knows where everything is. It's fine.
Yeah, we don't need to worry. We don't need to worry about mentioning the fact. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's exactly the same sort of thing. It's that. It's just movie magic.
Yeah, you can establish it, can't you?
You notice how neither of their white socks get the slightest bit dirty through this entire fight.
Sponsored by Persil.
Exactly. With the washing powder.
There are other washing machines. Yeah, there you go.
And it's actually pretty cool. And it's just like, it's a small detail, but one of them has a nice white eye cover, we'll call it, and the other one has a nice black one. You know,
Where's he getting his blindfolds from?
He just keeps one in his pocket all the time.
Just in case, or what's going on?
You never know, do you? Actually, could it not be from the start of the film, mind you, we'd have kept it in the pocket for the whole time, for the burial scene, with the white...
I don't know. I think it's very convenient. Oh,
yeah,
go.
It's just conveniently placed, isn't it? You know, he likes his white handkerchiefs. But yeah, overall... A really fun, really energetic fight scene that sits really nicely in the film. And there's a common theme of like the real, real nice slow motion sections that are used in this. That's used really well in there's the opening fight scene where then the classroom, which actually has some really nasty, if you remember, like, springy joints, like when he axe kicks the guy on the knee,
yeah,
and his leg bounces back, it's the whole way through, which I was like, oh, that's horrible. And he dislocates the guy's jaw and does all sorts of nasty stuff to him. And then obviously the end fight sequence as well, with there's a lot of sort of dislocations and nasty stuff going on in that. And this was a little bit more of a, I don't know, not lighthearted, but sort of more of a fun exchange of skill as opposed to I will kill everybody in sight and break everyone's limbs.
Yeah, I just really like the blend of grounded choreography and just the use of wire work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, I did then go back and, you know, watch all, you know, the Once Upon a Time in China and all that kind of stuff. And then it was a bit of a gateway because it's a kind of eases you into that kind of choreography on screen.
Yeah.
And I know you mentioned earlier sort of it being an inspiration for The Matrix.
Yeah.
And you can really see that. You know, it's almost if you watch any of the fight scenes from The Matrix, especially the first one. I mean, obviously, Yuen Woo Ping, of course, is going to be very similar, but like, they were just like, that's what we want in our movie. This kind of style, this Fist of Legend, Yuen Woo Ping, where it's like grounded, but also enhanced. That's when the Wachowskis saw that. This is exactly perfect for our movie. Let's get him over.
They cite this as being one of their inspirations or one of the reasons for wanting.
Mm.
And obviously, I didn't mention on recording, but Jet Li was originally approached for the character of Seraph for the second and third. Is he in the third one as well? The
Colin Chu character. Yeah, he doesn't do as much in the third one, fight wise.
But he was obviously originally meant to be Jet Li, and we were not joking about it, but we were talking about obviously the fact that he didn't want to be in it because he didn't want his movements to be sort of digitally recorded and become like property of another entity, which you obviously mentioned, it was like the foreshadowing the whole AI
thing. Yeah, it is. Now. It's kind of weird how he was kind of 20 years ahead.
I remember at the time thinking, what?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be in it because he's worried about his movements being digitally cut. And then you think now there is a genuine concern in the stunt industry that people's movements are going to be captured in that way and then just reused. And
yeah,
stunt people are going to become obsolete, which is crazy. If you think about it. Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, the money you would save in not breaking people, and worse, I mean, you can see why it would make sense. But yeah, it's just nuts. I mean, how far is it going to go? Are we going to just end up with completely AI-generated films?
Well, it's like the digital doubles, isn't it? You know, you see so much, you see so much, you know, of that happening on set where some performers are doing a setup, you know, or a big wire pull or something like that, and then they get replaced anyway with a digital double afterwards. So it's kind of like, why do you bother doing it in the first place and risking getting seriously injured?
Yeah, so, and then you have,
you know, one or the other, you know.
The likes of the new Roadhouse film, where there's just seemingly shoehorned CGI into that for the sake of it, where it didn't really seem to be needed.
I watched the fights. So I kind of went in and had a look at, because obviously there's a lot of controversy over it, isn't there? And it was a bit odd.
Yes, it is. I remember I put it on to watch it because everybody else was going on about it. And then I was like, why did they just use CGI people in that opening like fight sequence? Like, why? Yeah, it was to, obviously, I think it was just trying to do it for a cool like effect with the camera work. But like, they didn't do anything that the people couldn't have done.
No, it's not like they had it was like flying through and like, oh, there's a slow motion bit with someone's teeth getting broken, so you need to then pull out again and see that. It was weird. It was just like, and also I don't think it wasn't, obviously there was only parts of those moments that were CG, and it kind of like, I don't know, maybe they were just trying to do a new thing. You've got, I think sometimes it's good for there to be to kind of people to be developing different styles of
They were trying to do something different. But they, in my opinion, they absolutely stuffed the final fight scene, where there's whole misses, like there's about four or five hits that miss completely. Well, you can't see them, just from the angles. We're going into a different fight scene now.
Yeah,
we can hashtag it now with Roadhouse.
There you go.
Post it because we talked about it.
Put it on the thumbnail.
Yeah, we're And then of course you got Conor McGregor's ass, but. That's a different fight sequence altogether. Anyway, I think we should leave it there because I know you're a busy man. You've got a lot of stuff going on. I'm busy with something as well at the minute. I can't think what. But those, I don't know. I have hinted at it a little bit. One of my kids has managed to get ill, so I've been in and out of hospital all week, doing the whole night shift. Anybody that's been there before will know what I mean. You get absolutely no sleep on a children's ward. Yeah, it's not fun, but you know, we do what we have to do.
Thankfully, I haven't done an overnight yet.
Yet.
Not at all. But yeah, I think the maximum I've spent is about 6 hours.
Yeah.
Which even that is a nightmare, so I can't imagine how much.
I don't know why, but the night shift team are always much louder. They really are. It's so annoying. It's like, why are you so much more like, go shush. I know you have to work, but just do it quietly. Anyway, enough of that moaning. So yeah, I'm going to let you go get on with your day. I'm going to go and furiously edit this now. For those listening in, it is actually Thursday afternoon we're recording this, and it's called Fight Scene Friday. So hopefully you've got this on Friday, and if you haven't, I'm sorry. I've just given you my excuse. I've loaded that in advance. we've not got a normal to return to yet, have we? We've not really established that normal.
No.
But normal services, whatever they are, will resume in 2 weeks' time, unless one of my other kids gets ill, or I get ill, or something else happens.
Have we picked a scene for the next one yet? Or we did?
I haven't even picked what. It was Friday tomorrow. That's as far as I am in my life, right?
All right, fair enough.
It's Friday tomorrow. I've got a list of fight scenes that I want to cover from films such as SPL, Drive, Drunken Master 2, Armor of God.
I think we need to get some suggestions in, don't we, from people?
Well, if people, well, one person did on the Patreon group. So if you're on the Patreon group, thank you, because obviously you're helping support the podcast, which is amazing. patreon.com/kickbackpodcast, or is it Kickback with Chris? My brain's too tired to know. It's one of them two. It'll be in the show notes anyways. You can go find it there. And one listener, I'm trying to think, it was Mags. He put a big list of suggestions. It was a very, very comprehensive list of suggestions. So, yeah, I'll send it you so you can see it. But if anybody's got ideas of films we can do, as long as
put your suggestions in the comments below, like and subscribe.
I'm open to doing a Seagal film too.
Oh, mate, I met
there are some good ones
that runs Steven Seagal's Facebook page.
Yeah, you know them.
Yeah, so random. So I went and did a freelance camera job filming a music concert a few weeks ago, because I do a bit of that as well. And the guy who was running the company that was doing the recording, the multi-camera recording, just started out of nowhere just talking about Steven Seagal. And I was like, oh, you know Steven Seagal? Like, he was saying, you know, talking about all this stuff. And he was like, yeah, I run his Facebook page. I was like, what? So for whatever reason, he's just like, I think he's just kind of over the years managed to kind of work things with him. I don't know whether, because obviously he's got like a film video thing company. I don't know what his interest is. But he's seemingly like, if Seagal is doing something, he'll message him and be like, hey, this would be really good for your Facebook. Do you want me to post it on your Facebook page? It's just so random.
Well, I'll take that back. We would love to have Steven Seagal on the podcast. So
no, but he was like, it's interesting. He was straight away, because I obviously, like, I was just like, look, I'm not in the, it's a completely different context to stunts and martial arts for me. I was there as a camera guy, so I was like, I'm not really going to say much about this. I was very kind of, oh right, yeah, oh, Steven Seagal. Oh, he was like, oh, you know, he gets a bad rep sometimes. I was like, oh, I don't know, it's a disease sort of thing. And he was like straight away, kind of really defensive about it. It's like, oh, no, yeah, behind closed doors, you know, when people are. He's really knows what he's doing, and he's really, really hardcore behind the scenes. All the stuff that we put out there, I'm always telling him, Stephen, don't we always putting this stuff out there? Why are you putting all this stuff? But behind the scenes, you know, he's really, really, he knows the stuff. And I was like, all right.
Well, there we
go.
I
don't know.
Interesting, an interesting close to the podcast there.
So strange.
Well, you're gonna get used to that. Things you're going to get used to with this podcast is we're very geeky about martial arts films, but we're not very good with preparing stuff. So
get used to that, bitches.
Get used to us not knowing the names of actors, of choreographers or directors, years that films were made. But we can talk about the fights. We could do that a bit.
Well, yeah, I think that's the whole point, isn't it? You watch the fight scene and we talk about it. Watch the behind the scenes if you want a buddy in depth. Who do you think I am? I'm not the director.
Who do you think I am? Mike Leader?
Yeah, exactly.
He's a guy that can do a good audio commentary, so...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mike must have done hundreds and hundreds of commentaries.
Hundreds and hundreds. Of the audio commentary people out there, he is the best. So, there you go. There's my little plug. Cool. Right. Anyway, now that I've kissed his ass, we will finish there. So as Martin said, send in some suggestions. If you've got ideas for films you want us to do, then send them, and I'll consider them, and if I like them, we'll do them. That's the process. There's certain ones I ain't going to touch. I suppose people are going to ask us to do Bruce Lee films, and I really don't want to do it, but if people want us to do it, I'll do it, because I just don't like them.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's fine. We can talk about why we don't like it.
Yeah, good idea.
That'd be really controversial.
It would, wouldn't it?
We don't have to like all the fight scenes that we talk about. They don't have to be the ones that we like, not the ones that we don't like at all. And really annoy us and make us angry about fight choreography.
Make you angry?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I could start on some there. Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, let's not. Just now. We'll save that for another day. Cool. All right, dude, I'll let you get on with your day, and we'll chat again soon.
Bye.
That was very enthusiastic.
Kick back with Chris.
Support our podcast by making your Art Marshall orders via the link in our show notes. Art Marshall. Art Marshall. Streetwear inspired by martial arts culture.